William Morrow and Harper Audio present The Song of the Jade Lily, a novel by Kirsty Manning, performed by Saskia Malleveld. To my parents, Richard and Carolyn, who showed me that family is always home. Yes, the past is in the present, but the future is still in our hands. Elie Wiesel, bearing witness 60 years on. Speech to the United Nations General Assembly, January 24, 2005. Wheresoever you go, go with all your heart. Confucius, 551 to 479 BCE. Prologue. Shanghai, October 14th, 1944. This was the first time she'd broken Papa's rules. Romy's throat tightened as she fingered the refugee pass in her jacket pocket and stepped closer to the ghetto's checkpoint. Her pass was to study at the university in Frenchtown, yet it was well past supper time. She intended to make an infectious diseases evening class as an excuse, and her textbook hung heavy in her satchel, the strap digging into her shoulder. Romy held her breath as she stood before an expressionless Japanese soldier. She started to pull the textbook from her bag, but the young soldier sighed as he swatted a mosquito and nodded her through. He looked every bit as sweaty, tired, and bony as she did.
"Back before curfew," he barked. "Otherwise..."
He sliced his finger across his neck. Romy nodded, not trusting herself to speak. Too scared to look back and too penniless to hail one of the pedicabs or rickshaws weaving between trolley buses, she raced toward the garden bridge. The bag with the textbook thudded against her thigh. Romy wiped the sweat from her brow with the sleeve of her mother's jacket and tried to push all thoughts of her parents aside. They would have forbidden her from leaving the ghetto. The risk of being caught was too great. And after everything... As she stepped onto the iron framework of Garden Bridge, smells from the sampans crowding Suchao Creek floated up. The warm air was thick with the scent of sewage and frying fish mingled with cardamom, cinnamon, and star anise. Families on tiny boats shouted and giggled. Rows of washing strung across beams flapped in the evening breeze, and the clang of spoons hitting woks and pots rang deep into the evening. As Romy reached the far end of the bridge, a hawker pulling dough into noodles gave her a toothless smile and asked,
"You buy, missy?"
She shook her head. Romy's stomach ached. She'd had nothing except a watery bowl of congee that morning. To avoid all sorts of food, she spent the 10-minute walk trying to work out how to sneak into Shanghai's grandest hotel. Soon enough, she turned a corner, and the Bund shimmered beside the black Wangpo River. Romanesque-style banks and Renaissance-inspired office buildings leered over the pavement with rising sun flags dotted on their rooftops. She walked toward the Art Deco hotel, lit up with an apple-green pyramid on the roof. The Cathay. Outside the revolving doors, Japanese soldiers laughed and lit cigarettes for lanky Russian whores with translucent skin, red lips, and silk dresses. Romy inched past with her head down, careful not to make eye contact. She was thankful for her mother's dowdy brown suit. She was so close now. Romy walked nervously into the cafe's soaring atrium, making sure her heels didn't clatter on the mosaic tiles. The lobby was filled with staff in white pressed linen, carrying magnums of champagne and silver trays of whiskey. Japanese soldiers mingled with German, French, and Chinese couples. The men in white dinner jackets and the women with pastel feather boas threaded over their arms, diamond necklaces at their throats. These couples chatted with elegant Chinese ladies, buttoned into chongs.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?